attitudes that will cause us to be lost in the after a while if we don't correct these attitudes. And today I want to talk about two attitudes that all of us have to deal with. We're going to talk about fear this morning, and we're going to talk about worry tonight, because we all have problems with fear and we all have problems with worry. We worry about too many things, and many times maybe we fail to realize that these can be sin. When we talk about fear, let me just start off by going to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And in verse 8, the Revelator says, "But the fearful," and many times we don't pay much attention to that. We are in a hurry to get on to some of the other things that are said. "The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, we read this verse over and over as preachers in the pulpit to talk about liars, talk about whoremongers, to talk about murderers, and talk about unbelievers. But many times we fail to catch what's said in the very beginning. The fearful will go to hell. That's what it says. And the idea here is to be timid. And as I look at the church of the Lord today, there's too much timidity. Too much timidity in the pulpit. Too much timidity in the pew. I can remember a time when the Lord's church did not have timid men in the pulpit. In the early 60s in Louisville, Kentucky, I preached for the South End Church. And that was a time when the issues were raging. It was vital that men be courageous to save the churches from digression, from institutionalism, from the sponsoring church arrangement. And at that time, there were no timid men in the pulpits in this area. And the elderships were not timid men. And members were not timid. And I can remember the men who used to come to this city to preach the Gospel of Jesus Christ, Frank Puckett, Roy Cogdell, and men of that caliber, and they were not timid men. When they went to the pulpit to preach, you knew that they were going to deal with things that were vital, and they were not going to be afraid to preach. And so we have come a circle. And many times men today are timid and they are afraid to speak out. They are afraid to deal with sin. They are afraid to call a name. They are afraid. And many times we think we have come to a place of sophistication, you see. We think we've come to a place where we're on a higher plateau. No, we've come to a place that we're cowards many times. That's where we've come to, brethren. And the lesson we need to learn is that the Lord has never had any use for a coward. He does not want His people to be a fearful people. And when we become a fearful people, we are unable to do His work. Now, as we begin to look at fear as it is used in the Word of God, it is used in two senses. There is a fear that you are to have, and there's a fear that I am to have. And first of all, in the lesson, we will deal with the right kind of fear. I am to fear God. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter, the second chapter, and in verse 17, the writer says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we see that we are commanded to fear God. Go back to the Old Testament. In Psalms 111 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, in Ephesians 5 and 21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Again, in Philippians 2 and verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When we would come to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, in verses 34 and 35, we hear Peter now as he addresses the house of Cornelius. And he says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him, you see, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And so we can see then, there is a fear that we are to have. We are to fear God. What does it mean to fear God? The idea of fear, as it is used in these verses, is the idea of causing us to shrink from any action that would displease God. The fear which a child has for a loving father, the attitude of respect and reverence. Now, we're to have that kind of fear in relationship to our God. We cannot serve him any other way than to fear him, to reverence him, to have deep awe and respect for him, and to have such awe and respect that we would shrink from doing anything that would displease him. Now, that's the right kind of fear. That's the fear that we are to develop. But that's not the fear that I'm going to spend my time talking about today. The wrong kind of fear is the painful emotion marked by alarm and dread. It is anxious concern. It is the idea of fright and terror and timidity and apprehension. And we all experience that kind of fear. We have experienced it down through the years. Psychologists tell us, I don't know how they know except by observation. They tell us that when a child is born into the world, he comes into the world with two fears. Number one, he fears being dropped. He fears that he'll fall. And number two, he fears an extra loud noise. And you could learn that by observing your baby. But then they say, we come with these two, and then we begin to develop our fears. We're afraid of the dark. Were you ever afraid of the dark? I can remember being afraid of the dark, afraid to go out into the night, afraid to go back into a dark room. Well, if you were afraid of the dark, ever afraid of the dark, then of course you can remember that apprehension and that pain. And you know, afraid of a graveyard at night. I remember as a young fella, you know, you get on up in your teens, you sort of like to get out and be with other fellows. Of course, I was raised on the farm back in the country. And to go visit some fellows, I had to pass the graveyard in the night. Well, I'd have a great desire to be with my friends, but boy, I sure hated coming home by the graveyard. What I'm trying to get you to see is the apprehension, the fear, the pain, the emotion that many times we have. But Jesus told his disciples they were not to fear their enemies. Let's go back to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. And in this 10th chapter, he is telling his disciples as he sent them forth into the world to preach the gospel that they were going to be persecuted, as you read the context. But then in verses 26 and 27 and 31, he tells his disciples not to fear. Notice verse 26. He says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." Then on in verse 28, he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Verse 31 says, "Fear ye not therefore, for ye are more value than many sparrows." So here in this text, if I have any understanding, he's telling his disciples that they are not to fear persecution. They are not to fear men who would even take their lives. They were to be brave men. They were to go forth. Go back in the text. Back up to verse 19. He says, "But when they deliver you up," and they, of course, were going to be delivered up. But we'll go back to verse 18. "And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." They were going to appear before the rulers of nations as they went forth to preach the gospel. Now, they needed this admonition to be brave men, to go forth to do this work. It takes brave men to be Christians. And we need to understand that. And so he tells them what was going to happen. Verse 19 says, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." He's talking to the apostles. They'd be, of course, inspired. That's the reason they wouldn't have to take forethought. They'd be inspired in what they were going to say. But then he tells them, don't fear. Don't be afraid to do your duty, to stand up and to speak. Notice again, go back again to that 18th verse. "For my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." Well, he's going to preach things that wasn't going to go so well with folks. That's the reason they were going to get into trouble. But we're told today, preach it positive. Don't deal with anything you know is going to upset folks. Don't have to have much fear to preach the kind of pablum that's preached many times today. But it takes brave men to preach the gospel. It takes brave men to be Christians. And the Lord knew that it would be a test of our bravery. And he told us over and over not to fear. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Philippians. In Philippians, the first chapter and verse 28, he says, "And nothing be terrified by your adversaries." Now you think about it. "In nothing be terrified by your adversaries." In other words, we're told not to fear the enemies of truth. We are to put our reliance and our faith and our trust in our Lord and in our God. Jesus said again in Luke 12 and 32, "Fear not, little flock." Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear," in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. God has what? Not given us the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear comes from somebody else besides God. When you and I study the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and when our hearts are filled with faith, and we are doing what the Lord would have us do. We're brave men. Men who are brave as lions, who walk before men unafraid. Now, none of you like a timid man. Now, you just stop to think about it. You know, you say, you see men on the job, or you see men somewhere else, or maybe you're on a job and you got a fellow that's above you that's afraid and he's timid, and you know he doesn't do his job, he doesn't get the men what they deserve from the company. I mean, rightly deserved, because he's a coward. He won't speak up. And you know how you feel about that kind of man. Well, how do you think the Lord feels about us? We represent him on the earth. We're his children. We're his people. We carry his message. And when there's so much timidity about us that we won't stand up, we won't stand up to anything, and we are terrified by adversaries, how do you think our Savior feels about us? He feels about like you do when you have to come in contact with a man who has the spirit of fear. John said in John, 1 John 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. We love God, we'll keep his what? Commandments. When we keep his commandments, and when we love as we ought to love, he says it casts out fear. Now, the wrong kind of fear and its effects are seen on every hand. As I've already pointed out, it prompts cowardly action on the part of people of God. It prompts cowardly action on the part of preachers. Preachers many times are cowards, and it is evident that they're cowards, that they're fearful in the way they speak. Many times elders are fearful, and teachers are fearful, and mothers and fathers are fearful, and men in general are fearful. You know, when we're fearful, it produces confusion in the mind, and it results in a sleeplessness and restless nights. You know, a man, when he's fearful of situations, he's not at peace with himself. It destroys inner peace. What are we afraid of? I'll tell you some things we're afraid of. We're afraid of failure. Every one of us has to deal with that fear. And you know what fear will do to us? Fear will paralyze people. I mean, literally paralyze people. And many times we fail and fail completely in many areas of our lives because of fear, and we fail as Christians because of fear. Now let me give you a biblical example of a man who completely failed as a child of God because of fear. You go back to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, and here is a parable of the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who calleth his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now one he gave two, and one 5 talents, and one man he gave 1 talent. Now I want you to look at the 1 talent man. I want you to see what his trouble is. Look in verse 18 to begin our reading. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of that servant cometh and reckoned with them, or the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And he that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now I want you to notice verse 24. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou had not strowed. And I was what? Afraid. There's your key. He was fearful. I was afraid, he said, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And you think about it. He failed. Why did he fail? He failed because he was afraid. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why was he lost? Fear. He was afraid. He was afraid of what? Failure. Now, the Lord just write that to take up space. No. A great lesson we need to learn. We fail many times because of fear. We have that emotion. We are so afraid we will not succeed, or that we will not hold out. Different reasons enters in of failure, that we just don't do anything. You know, many times people fail to obey the gospel. How many times have you had people to tell you through the years that the reason that they didn't obey the gospel was they were afraid that they couldn't hold out to the end? I've had person after person through the years to tell me that's the reason they didn't become a Christian. They were afraid they couldn't hold out. Well, they'll be lost. What's going to cause them to be lost? Fear. Fear, afraid to do the commandments of God. Our responsibilities are according to our ability. As we go back to that 15th verse of the 25th chapter, when he said, And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now God knows what my ability is. And he expects of me what I can do, not what I can't do. Paul pointed that out in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12 concerning our giving. He just expects you to give what you're able to give, not something else, but what you're able to do. That's what he expects of you. And that's what he expects of us in all of our service to him, because all of us don't have the same abilities. All of us can't do the same thing. And as you go back and look at the church as a body, as it's pictured by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, it's evident that we have different functions in the body, but whatever your abilities are, then the Lord expects you to use those abilities to the extent of those abilities and do the best that you possibly can. And when you have served Him, doing His will to the best of your ability, He will not be forgetful of your work. Go back to 1 Corinthians, but Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." We need to be busy at work. We need to get fear out of our heart. But fear is a thing that keeps us from doing work many times. It keeps people from obeying the gospel. Another thing that we fear people. We fear men. Many times we just fear people. A lot of times we have that fear, you know. We're timid and backward. But then that fear runs deeper. Many times we are so afraid of men and so afraid what they're going to say about us or what they may do that we are reluctant to do the will of the Lord. That's the end of fear that I'm concerned with this morning. We're fearful. People are fearful if they obey the gospel, they will be rejected by their families. Now, how many men have you known that have stayed out of the church that knew the truth because of mom and daddy? Well, I've known men through the years that married women who were Christians, who went to the services of the church with their wives, then they learned the truth, they heard the gospel preached over and over, they knew the Church of the Lord was right, they knew what the gospel was, but their parents were steeped in sectarianism and their brothers and sisters were involved in denominationalism, and they knew if they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then they would really have it with the family. And they so feared the family that they never obeyed the gospel. Or some, I have known, waited till the parents passed on and then obeyed the gospel. That's a sad condition. God will have to judge all of that. But the Lord knew we'd be fearful, that we would fear men. You go back to the 12th chapter of the book of John, and there you will see some who believed that Jesus was the Christ, but they wouldn't confess Him. And the reason they did was because of fear. John 12, 42 and 43. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." That's the reason. Many times we don't do what we need to do because we fear men. We fear what men's going to say about us, you see. We fear relationships will be changed. We don't like boats rocked, you see. You know, the gospel of Christ it revolutionizes things. It changes your life. You can't be a Christian and not change. I'll tell you what's wrong today. We want people to be Christians and not make any changes. And folks want to be Christians and make no changes. Well, let me tell you, you follow the Master. And a lot of changes have got to come in all of our lives. A lot of changes have got to come. I think that's one of the great problems today. We want it easy. You know, we live in the push-button age, and we're soft. We don't want to make any changes. Let me tell you, the Lord wants changes made. He doesn't want us to fear men. But another fear, we have the fear of insecurity. Oh, we all have to deal with this. The Lord knew we'd have to deal with it. We are afraid that we won't have enough to eat. We won't have clothes. We won't have shelter. You know, we'll deal more with this tonight. But the Lord dealt with that. You go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and he dealt at length with children of God being afraid and concerned about what they were going to eat, what they were going to drink, and what they were going to wear. Look in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, or don't worry, you see, is the idea. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on, is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Why, the God of heaven gives the greater blessing. He gives life. He gives the body. If he gives the greater blessing, you think he's not going to give the lesser blessing to sustain the greater blessing? That's his argument. He's talking to children of God. He knows what our needs are. And the whole thing, as he tells us down through here in verse 30, is little faith. What's wrong with us? Little faith. We don't trust in God. You know, saving faith, there are three phases of, are three things that make up saving faith. Conviction. Is not the faith that saves. That's part of faith. You have to have conviction. But then after one has conviction, he must what? He must trust. And then the third part is obedience. But we need to trust God. Trust his promises. We need our hearts completely saturated with faith. You know, we need to turn from human wisdom completely to the wisdom of God. That's what's wrong today many times in the church. We haven't turned from human wisdom. We don't completely trust the wisdom of God. And then we turn our hearts from being centered on the things of this world to things that are above. Then our will is, Lord, you speak and I'll obey. That's saving faith. We'd better learn more about what it is, or some of us not going to be saved. Oh, these folks that talk about faith don't know what it's all about. These folks that holler the loudest about it don't know what saving faith is. But you and I, who are children of God, we'd better learn what it is. And saving faith will what? It will cause us to be secure and not insecure. Let me tell you something else. We fear what other folks are going to say about it. That's one of the biggest things. We're just concerned what other folks are going to say about us. Now let me read a passage from the Old Testament. In Isaiah 51 and 7, says, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness." And today we're the folks who know righteousness, just as Israel was in the days when this was written. "The people in whose heart is my law." And today, in this dispensation, God's law's in our heart. "Fear not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings." You think God's attitude has changed just because we're under another dispensation? Absolutely not. But man has always been afraid of the revilings of men. And that's the thing that causes us to hesitate and get in trouble. You know, Peter got in trouble when he tried to please the people. He denied the Lord three times there trying to please folks. when they had arrested the Lord, crucifying him, the man who thought he would indeed. And Peter's weakness again showed up whenever the Gentiles come there, down there, and he disassembled himself in Galatians 2 and played the hypocrite. Now let me tell you what you'll do. When you try to please people, you'll get in trouble. You just mark her down. Whenever fear enters in and you're going to try to please folks, you let me get afraid to preach, and I'm going to try to please Hebron Lane with my preaching. I'm going to try to make it so smooth that nobody will ever know that I ever dealt with his sins. I'm going to tell you better get me out of the pulpit. Because I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. And these elders here, that they get afraid and scared, they don't get in trouble. That's the reason we cannot be fearful. And that the Word of God has, the Lord has taken time in the Word of God to deal with fear over and over and over. I hadn't touched the hem of the garment this morning. But how are we going to overcome it? Our time is gone. How are we going to overcome it? Well, let me tell you. Number one, you just remember that the God of heaven has strictly forbidden fear. That's the lesson we'd better learn. You go back to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and read verses 4 and 5. That'll lessen what he says. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It takes faith now to overcome this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now we could multiply, and we've already dealt with other passages. The Lord forbids us to fear. That is an anxiety that we're to get rid of, to work on. We all have to deal with it. But it gets us in trouble. It compromises the truth. It keeps us from doing right. And many times we don't realize it, you know. We think we've become sophisticated, and that's the way to do. And you know, instead of just recognizing the fact that our trouble is that we're timid and we're fearful and we're afraid, and we're afraid to be men and act like men and stand up like men ought to act, and we're just fearful to do anything. And as I say, it'll paralyze. Secondly, it takes faith. As we've already pointed out, we must believe that God will do what he says. Go back again in this very text. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll be with us. And we'll deal maybe more in detail with some of this tonight as we deal with worry. Don't be fearful. Fear not, little flock. The Lord's with us. If you're here this morning and you've been afraid to obey the gospel of Christ, I hope you'll overcome that fear this very day. That you'll come believing with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your every sin, confessing your Lord before this audience. We'll bear you with him in baptism for the remission of sins. If you're here and you have sinned publicly and you need to make public correction, repenting of that sin, coming, confessing that sin, we'll pray with you and for you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?